Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And welcome to our show today. It is Tuesday, May 11th, 2021, getting into the week here. We have a lot to talk about today, and as usual, we're going to do news until we run out of news. Then we're going to open up the phone lines for comments, questions, opinions, and observations. So Mike is in our control room taking care of business, and we're going to get right on into it. That disruption in fuel on the eastern coast because of the hacking or the ransomware of the Colonial Pipeline is continuing to have repercussions. There are gas stations along the U.S. East Coast are running out of gasoline. And, you know, this is as North America's biggest single pipeline tries to recover from that paralyzing cyber attack that has kept it shut for several days. So gas stations from Virginia to Florida and Alabama are reporting they've sold out of gasoline as supplies in the region dwindle and panic buying sets in. An estimated 7% of gas stations in Virginia were out of fuel as of late last night, according to Gas Buddy analyst Patrick DeHaan. The White House said in his statements, it's monitoring the situation. Oh, that gives me a warm and fuzzy feeling. And directing government agencies to help alleviate any shortages. And Colonial Pipeline said it's manually operating one segment of the pipeline running from North Carolina to Maryland and is hoping to restore all service by the weekend. So we'll see what's going to happen with that. More reports of gas shortages and long lines at gas stations in southeastern states because the hackers shut down the Colonial Pipeline. Now, here's what's really interesting. The Colonial Pipeline was hardly a military target, and yet this ransomware group has demonstrated how easy it would be to paralyze the country by going after some of this critical infrastructure. And it sort of underscores the fact that our government really has not paid much attention to defense against cyber criminals. And clearly, as is demonstrated by the Colonial Pipeline cyber attack, this is a problem. Now, North Carolina has declared a state of emergency. Cars are lining up outside stations in Virginia, Georgia, and Florida. And American Airlines is now adding extra stops on the long-haul flights to refuel in other areas where there are not shortages. The largest U.S. refinery has shut down two crude cracking units in Port Arthur, Texas, because of the lack of access to the Colonial Pipeline. So Colonial is operating one fuel line under manual control. This is line four fuel line. This runs from Greensboro, North Carolina to Woodbine, Maryland. It is restarted and operating under manual control. They're going to try and get the whole pipeline back up and running by the weekend. And they're saying their goal is for service to be substantially restored by the end of the week. Okay, story out of domagood.com asking a pertinent question. Who else is being held to ransom? And they are reporting that hackers launched cyber attacks on more than 24 other companies across a range of industries after shutting down the Colonial Pipeline. And as I said, this underscores the fact that the United States government has dropped the ball when it comes to protecting us from cybercrime. We're absolutely wide open right now. We need a Manhattan Project scale effort to secure our national cyber infrastructure. Newt Gingrich has a little bit of a different solution. He is calling for Joe Biden to order the killing of those behind the Colonial Pipeline hack. And Newt Gingrich said Joe Biden should be authorized to order the killings of anybody overseas who was found to be behind attacks on America's infrastructure, describing the cyber attack as an act of war. And I'm actually finding myself in agreement with Newt. This is a serious, serious problem. Now, the Corbett media is out there trying to claim that the hacker group, DarkSide, behind the Colonial Pipeline hack is somehow linked to Russia. But according to this article coming out of NBC News, no less, Joe Biden says there is no evidence the Russian government was involved in this pipeline hack. So we're dealing with a stateless organization, stateless entities, not unlike international terror organizations, and they should be treated exactly the same way. All right, getting into other political news, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy has scheduled a vote tomorrow to oust House Republican Conference Chair Liz Cheney from her post soon after he endorsed Representative Elise Stefanik for the number 3 leadership spot. And in recent weeks, Cheney has come under the crosshairs of top House Republican leaders after she continued to criticize former President Donald Trump while questioning Republicans' messaging and strategy to court voters. But a little bit of good news, O.J. Simpson has gone public. He endorses Liz Cheney, says he's a huge fan, so that ought to make everything all better for Liz. Joe Biden did a motorcade down in Louisiana City, and nobody showed up to wave at him. It was like this, you know, vacant street. This, for what we are being told, is the most popular president in U.S. history, with 81 million votes in the 2020 election. So a little bit of a discontinuity there. Speaking of politics and corruption, Paul Pelosi Jr. Is caught in a huge corruption scandal, this one about $180,000. And this article is saying that the more you look at Paul Pelosi Jr., the more you see another Hunter Biden. And Paul Pelosi Jr. was given no-show jobs for which he wasn't qualified in an effort to buy influence with his politician parent. So Nancy Pelosi's son, Paul, is also on the board of an energy company. He's also traveled to Ukraine for his work. And even better, Pelosi appears in the company's video ad. So the corruption continues. Getting on to the election fraud, it is turning out that Antrim County is becoming the second front in the war to expose the election fraud. We reported yesterday how One American News Network carried live the Zoom meeting between the attorneys and the judge on the hearing on whether to expand the audit or shut the case down. The judge is going to rule early next week on that. Meanwhile, it turns out some phantom votes have surfaced. 1,061 phantom votes have been found there. And officials in Antrim County initially reported voters chose Biden in the 2020 election, but tabulation errors, were discovered, and Trump was shown to be the winner. Now, the state and county officials are saying, oh, it's human error. But two local citizens have filed a lawsuit contending the Dominion voting systems machine could have been used to manipulate the elections. Absolutely. Attorney Matthew DiPerno was on the War Room and says what his team found in Antrim County, Michigan, they discovered the actual fraud that took place. And he is calling for an audit to take place in Michigan, just like that's going on in Maricopa County, Arizona. Over in Maricopa County, the officials are still refusing to provide the routers and passwords to the Senate auditors. According to an IT expert, they clearly do not want the public to know where the voting data was sent and when it was sent. And pardon me. The Maricopa County Attorney's Office directed to the audit team in Maricopa County explaining they just weren't able to provide the routers requested by the auditors, and they claimed they had shared all the passwords they had to the audit crew. And again, this, if it's true, given the benefit of the doubt, they didn't have any of the other passwords, then the election was not being run by Maricopa County election officials. It was being run by a private company called Dominion Voting Systems, whose slogan is, "We guarantee the results." Another witness has come forward. Jan Bryant was also on Steve Bannon's show saying that on election day, at one point, they sent everybody home and rebooted the entire election system, which sounds very, very suspicious. So Steve Bannon is out there saying, we're not going to stop. There's work going on 24/7 throughout the nation. It's all going to come out. And I certainly hope that's going to be the case. It's going to be an uphill fight. We can count on the Democrats and the corporate media to keep on denying that there was fraud in the 2020 election. They're going to claim it's all a gigantic GOP plot to discredit the election and steal the White House back for Trump. They're never going to admit they were part of the biggest election theft in U.S. history. Certainly the corporate media, looking at their dwindling audience numbers and the fact that nobody trusts them anymore, aren't going to admit they were part of the fraud last November. They're going to go down lying, as well they should. Down in Texas, their Attorney General Ken Paxton is getting involved after this video surfaced of an armed Black Lives Matter Antifa mob illegally blocking traffic in Plano, Texas. And the attorney general is getting involved because of this Plano police officer who apparently was allowing Black Lives Matter to block the traffic. All right. Attorney generals, or attorneys general, from 44 states have sent a letter to Mark Zuckerberg not to create a new Instagram for under 13-year-olds, but Facebook is signaling they will move ahead regardless. The attorneys general said in the letter they were concerned about social media's effects on the physical and emotional well-being of children, the potential for increased cyberbullying, possible vulnerability to online predators, and what they called Facebook's checkered record in protecting children on its platforms. And letter said it appears that Facebook is not responding to a need, but instead creating one, as this platform appeals primarily to children who otherwise do not or would not have an Instagram account. And they're describing this as a very shameful thing for Facebook to be doing. All right, let's talk about COVID-19. It's still out there. Story coming out of Zero Hedge. During the World Health Organization's Monday press conference, Maria Van Kerkhove, the scientist in charge of the agency's COVID-19 response, declared that COVID-19 variant B.1.617, which is the Indian variant, is a variant of global concern because the data is showing that it may be resistant to all the current vaccines. And I'm sure the pharmaceutical companies are already whipping up a new vaccine to sell us to protect us from the Indian COVID variant. Over in Europe, they're launching a probe from the Europe's drug regulator into the Pfizer and AstraZeneca COVID vaccines after reports of severe heart inflammation and a rare nerve degenerating disorder. Now, they're not 100% certain the vaccines are to blame, but there does seem to be a lot of close association in time. And they're looking at reports of Guillain-Barré syndrome among people who received the COVID-19 vaccine, and that's a common reaction to these vaccines. And so they're looking at this a little bit more closely. And that Guillain-Barré syndrome is a real, real serious neurological problem. Story coming on out of UNS.com, the COVAX-19 scorecard, bleeding, blood clots, and the whole nine yards. And the article is saying there is now enough evidence to see a clear correlation with increased COVID deaths and the vaccine campaigns. It is not a coincidence. It is an unfortunate, unintended effect of the vaccines. And this is coming from Dr. Jancy Lindsay, who's a PhD. And they're asking the simple question, why would anyone allow himself or herself to be injected with a substance for which the long-term adverse effects are completely unknown? And that is the case with all of these experimental vaccines. They have not been through full safety tests. Actually, we're the safety tests. This is extremely dangerous, and yet millions of people around the world have already been convinced to submit to what amounts to a human experiment. Over in Utah, Everest Romney, a 17-year-old basketball player near Salt Lake City, was admitted to the hospital after suffering deadly blood clots following an injection for the coronavirus. Local news outlets reported Romney started feeling sick almost immediately after the jab. He reported symptoms of neck swelling and severe headaches. His pediatrician originally wrote it off as a pulled neck muscle, but his mother took him to doctors, urging them to take the matter more seriously. And we reported on this yesterday. He's got two blood clots inside his brain and one outside. Story out of Health Impact News. The CDC has reported two more infant deaths following experimental COVID injections during clinical trials. This came through the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, and it included two new deaths of infants age 2 and age 1. Now, none of the COVID injections have emergency use authorization for children under the age of 17, although that's about to change. But there are ongoing trials with children being injected as young as 6 months old. So one of the infants who died was in the Pfizer trial. The other was in the Moderna trial. Here's an interesting little story. There was this doctor, Dr. Thomas Flanagan, and he was out there mocking the vaccine skeptics. He got his injection on TV, and he was joking about it, saying, I did it for the free orange juice, and I'm pretty sure the needle was a foot long. The good news is I didn't feel the microchip going in, but I can hear local radio stations now. Yuck, 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 yuck. Then he died. Okay. Bette Midler, and, you know, she seems to blow hot and cold. At one point, she was really nasty. Then she mellowed. Now she's getting nasty again. And Bette Midler is threatening students who do not get the vaccine with bringing peanut butter to school, which of course would be highly dangerous for children who have peanut allergies, peanut anaphylaxis, which is and of itself a reaction of the use of peanut oil as a vaccine adjuvant. Now, Bette Midler has one child of her own, a daughter who's 34 years old, and said, if my kid can't bring peanut butter to school, then yours can't bring the deathly plague, vaccinate, or I'm bringing the Jiffy. I think that's really kind of nasty of Bette Midler to do, and it did draw a very negative social media reaction. All right, we're going to take a break now for commercials. When we come on back, we're going to be talking about the situation in Jerusalem. It's getting ugly over there. Right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show here. And again, a quick reminder that Republic Broadcasting Network needs your continuing support so that we can go on bringing truth to the American people so that they can make good choices in these very tumultuous times. So once again, the postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer, anonymity cash is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. Now, if you send in a donation of $100 or more, you will get your choice of an RBN coffee mug or an RBN t-shirt. So include your t-shirt size and a return address. If you send in $115 or more, you will get both items. And don't forget that Front Sight Firearms deal. That is a really, really good one for Second Amendment enthusiasts. All right, so let's look at what's going on over in Israel and Palestine. Middle East Eyes editor-in-chief writes that Israel's crackdown on the Jerusalem protest could risk provoking a new major Palestinian uprising, a new intifada. And you need to understand what provoked this in the first place was the Israeli forces going into the Al-Aqsa Mosque and attacking the worshippers praying there. And that was a big problem. Pardon me. So this editor-in-chief is saying there are three features that give this protest added potency and should cause alarm to the Israeli security establishment. The first is that as a direct result of the latest wave of normalizations with Israel, no Palestinian is under any illusion that an Arab state will come to even their rhetorical rescue. That was not the case in previous intifadas. There are no honest brokers anymore. The Palestinians know they are well and truly on their own and can only rely on the resources available to them. The second, is that unlike previous uprisings, every Palestinian is involved. From 1948, Jerusalem, like the West Bank, Gaza, and the diaspora. The protests in Al-Aqsa attracted Christians as well as Muslims, secular as well as religious, nationalist as well as Islamist. They come from Haifa and Jaffa as well as Jerusalem. So meanwhile, the Israeli forces have injured 612 Palestinians in Jerusalem, according to the Red Crescent Society. And especially in and around the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound, many parts of the old city. The Palestinian Red Crescent Society stated that at least 411 wounded Palestinians were taken to its field clinic, in addition to the Al-Makassad Hospital, Augusta Victorian Hospital, in addition to other clinics. So it's getting really violent over there. Israel's army on Monday said it launched airstrikes on Gaza in response to rockets fired by Hamas militants after hundreds of Palestinians were hurt in clashes with Israeli police in Al-Aqsa. And Israeli army spokesman Jonathan Cornicus told reporters that Israeli forces had targeted a Hamas military operative, while Hamas sources in Gaza confirmed to Agent France Press that one of their commanders had indeed been killed. So Israelis were filmed celebrating last night on Jerusalem Day. This is when Israel celebrates the Six-Day War. And they were looking at the fire on top of the Temple Mount. Turned out to just be a tree that was burning, but everybody was celebrating and screaming for God to take vengeance on the Palestinians and erase them and their progeny from all of history. So what we have here is that Israel came on in, took the Palestinians' lands, bulldozed their homes, burned their crops, shot them, beat them, and imprisoned them. And now Israel is saying, how dare the Palestinians fight back? What is wrong with those people? Anyway. Story coming on out of Middle East Eye saying that the Israeli raid on the Al-Aqsa Mosque could, under international law, constitute a war crime because attacks on cultural sites during armed conflicts are a war crime under a number of international laws and treaties, including the Rome Statute of 1998, which established the International Criminal Court at The Hague, declared that anyone intentionally directing attacks against buildings dedicated to religion, education, art, science, or charitable purposes or historic monuments was committing a war crime. And there would not need to be significant damage. The statute criminalizes the attack and not the results. And I'm sure, well, Israel's already ducking the International Criminal Court over the report of war crimes against the Palestinian people. So what's one more war crime among friends, I guess, is the idea. All right, we're going to take another break for commercials here. And when we come on back, more about the Jerusalem crisis.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves.
And welcome back to our show here. We're talking about the Jerusalem crisis and the possibility of a new intifada happening right now. And so I'm looking at this story that came on out of antiwar.com where Israel is telling the United States to stay out of the crisis. The U.S. has expressed their concerns over the situation, but the Israelis don't want to hear that and told the U.S. not to meddle in the crisis. And the United States said, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. And not only that, the United States vetoed the U.N. Security Council from releasing a joint statement on the ongoing violence against the Palestinians in East Jerusalem. And diplomatic sources claim that Norway's mission introduced a proposal for a joint statement urging Israel to stop the looming evictions of Palestinian families in the East Jerusalem neighborhood of Sheikh Jarrah, which is a major, major sticking point. The statement would have also called for restraint and respect for the historic status quo at the holy sites, and Israel didn't want to hear that either. Story coming out of Blacklisted News, Instagram and Twitter have been deleting posts about the situation in Palestine when they got called on it. They are claiming it was a technical error. It was a glitch. Really, we're not trying to censor news about Palestine. It was just, this very strange computer, problem that for some reason was only picking on posts about Palestine here. And if you believe that, I have some of Saddam Hussein's nuclear weapons to sell you. Meanwhile, in other parts of the Middle East, Israel has attacked Syrian territory at least three separate times last week. The Israeli government is declining to comment. Now they have hit a target in the Golan Heights in a rare daytime attack. And again, their policy is not to comment on the attacks in the foreign press. But they're out there just bombing people. Little bit of good news here. Over in the Knesset, Yesh Atid leader Yair Lapid and Yamana chief Naftali Bennett, are looking at signing a coalition agreement within a day. This would bring to an end the prime ministership of Benjamin Netanyahu. And this is definitely going to iron out the last kinks in the divvying up of ministries between them. And so Netanyahu may finally be out of power and facing his corruption charges. Story coming on out from Global Research up in Canada. Pardon me, the Office of the Inspector General at the U.S. Agency for International Development has concluded that U.S. aid to Venezuela in 2019 was not fully allocated to the country. It was part of the mechanism to unseat democratically elected President Nicolas Maduro. Ooh, imagine my surprise at that one. And the findings, which were known last Thursday, belong to a report published on April 16th, titled Enhanced Processes and Implementer Requirements Are Needed to Address Challenges and Fraud Risks in USAID's Venezuela Response. Boy, that's a mouthful. The report highlights that the shipment of U.S. supplies responded in part to the Trump administration's campaign to put pressure on Maduro rather than simply provide aid to Venezuelans in need. Okay. Now, over in Great Britain, they have announced a new voter ID law because they don't want to see U.S.-style election fraud in their future elections. They're looking at the scale of the fraud in the last U.S. presidential election. And so now the United Kingdom says a photo ID will be required to vote in the general elections. And this proposal is will be included in the Queen's speech to Parliament. Actually, that happened today. And Britons will have to show photo ID to vote in future general elections. This is likely to be confirmed by Parliament. And they're saying this action is meant as a means of tackling fraud. Critics, who are the ones who often benefit from voter fraud, are claiming it could deter poorer and ethnic minorities from taking part in democracy. Well, I don't see how that's going to happen because anybody can get a photo ID. You certainly need one to, to operate a motor vehicle. A U.S. warship, a U.S. Coast Guard vessel, and again, I don't understand what part of the U.S. coast is over there near the Strait of Hormuz, but in any event, a U.S. Coast Guard vessel fired 30 warning shots after 13 Iranian-armed speedboats came within yards of seven American military vessels in the Strait of Hormuz. This all took place yesterday. Meanwhile, Iran is publicly accusing the United States government of orchestrating the bombing that targeted and killed scores of Afghan children. 85 people were killed and 147 injured, mostly children, in the bombing of the Syed al-Shahuda school in Kabul. And the school educates girls. The attacks were targeting the Hazara population, which is part of Afghanistan's Shia Muslim minority. The latest bloodshed threatens to plunge Afghanistan into sectarian conflict. Getting on back to Iran again, the excessive demands being put forward by the United States and its refusal to remove hundreds of anti-Iran sanctions related to the 2015 nuclear deal have been behind the complications hindering the Vienna talks on a potential revival of the accord. Press TV has obtained information that the United States is complicating the Vienna talks by insisting in keeping in place 500 anti-Iran sanctions included in the 2015 nuclear deal, officially known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. Washington's insistence on keeping those 500 persons and organizations under sanctions will prevent Iran from benefiting from the economic privileges offered by the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. In other words, Iran gets no benefit from going back in the deal. It will get in the way of Iran normalizing its trade relations with the rest of the world in contravention of Article 29 of the deal. In other words, the United States is killing this deal deliberately. And we know what's going to happen. The corporate media will say, well, we tried. We really tried to come to an understanding with Iran. But gosh darn it, those Iranians wouldn't see things our way. Story coming on out of Zero Hedge, looking at how the United States is already planning tactics to use against Chinese submarines in case of conflict. And a key aspect of it is that geography is playing a major role in this. When you look at China's submarine bases, every one of them has a fair bit of shallow water their submarines have to transit through in order to get to deep water. And in that shallow water, they're vulnerable to surveillance and even possibly attack. Another story here, this one is coming out of Daily Mail, and they're talking about scientists at the University of Central Florida have developed a new propulsion system to stabilize the noise of the jet engine to prevent the shock waves that can damage surroundings. Now, the engine only is responsible for part of the shock waves of a supersonic aircraft. The airframe itself also generates shock waves when it's traveling faster than the speed of sound. So anyway, the new engine design contains a chamber with a 30-degree angle ramp near the propellant mixing chamber that stabilized the oblique detonation wave for 3 seconds in a controlled experiment. They're now claiming that this will enable jets to reach speeds of up to Mach 17 without releasing the powerful shock waves. Well, like I said, the airframe itself is going to release some pretty heavy shock waves here. I remember going out to Edwards Air Force Base and watching the space shuttle coming down from orbit, which did so in a glide without any powering whatsoever. And it produced a double shock wave, one from the nose of the space shuttle and the second from the vertical stabilizer, which was sticking outside the shock wave from the nose. Very interesting story from metallicman.com talking about future war and saying that the big secret is that America is unable to wage a war with peer-capable enemies. And he's saying it's pretty frightening, but it's a real and serious issue. But then look at Vietnam. We had clear military superiority in terms of our weapons and personnel and equipment, and we still lost that one. And we haven't exactly won in Syria, and we certainly haven't won in Afghanistan, despite all this very expensive equipment we're being forced to pay for. And I really do think if we get into a major war with Russia and or China, we're going to lose. We are definitely going to lose. Okay, story coming on out of VDare.com. We're getting into the economic news here. And this article is talking about the April jobs disaster and commenting on the fact that immigrant displacement of American workers is still stalled, but it's not going to stay stalled for much longer. The immigrant workforce is still surging, and displacement will resume soon. So all these callings we've had into the show about these immigrants coming on in and displacing American workers, they're absolutely right. It is happening. It really is. Max Keiser is out there saying that U.S. chip makers are begging for a government bailout because most chip manufacturing has moved to Asia for reasons of cost. And Max Keiser on the Keiser Report and Stacey Herbert look at how the export of the American manufacturing base by technology companies such as Intel has created this semiconductor chip shortage in the United States. And right now, U.S. semiconductor manufacturing has declined to where it's only 12% of the world's total. Now, that's an embarrassment because the United States invented the integrated circuit chip. It was part of the technological fallout from the race to the moon. So Intel CEO Pat Gelsinger says the current supply is a problem because relying on one region, especially one as unpredictable as Asia, where 75% of chips are now made, is highly risky. And they're absolutely right. And maybe this is a classic case where the government needs to subsidize a new American chip manufacturing industry and regain that technological edge. Getting on to immigration and the border. Story coming on out of Madness Hub. They basically are showing pictures of these migrants pouring across the Rio Grande. Kamala Harris still has not visited the border 47 days after being named the Tsar. And the Texas sheriff calls the response a complete embarrassment. There was a story about how a rancher in Texas found seven young girls, like age seven or so, on his property. And he's predicting that when the summer heat really hits, there are going to be a lot of these abandoned children who are just going to die out there. Okay. Over at Fox News, Greg Gutfeld is blasting Democrats for dismissing the border crisis and saying it's no big deal. Sure, a few kids drown, but it's not that big a deal over there. But it is a major, major crisis. Now, the Biden administration is rolling back a Trump immigration policy that would have limited work permits for immigrants with final deportation orders. Well, that makes sense to me. If you're deporting an immigrant, why give him permission to work? You know, why give him an incentive to try and evade that deportation? If he can't get a job, then he'll welcome deportation because it's going to send him back someplace where he can work and feed himself. But the Biden administration is reversing that. Why? Just because it's a Trump policy. Okay. Anyway, there has been a data breach coming out of Amazon, and security researchers at Safety Detectives have found what appears to be a sophisticated scheme by Amazon vendors to manufacture fake reviews for their products. And Safety Detectives team found a China-based Elasticsearch server of direct messages between Amazon vendors and customers running fake review schemes in exchange for free products. And they found 7 gigabytes of data, with over 13 million records, including email addresses, WhatsApp, Telegram, phone numbers, email addresses, names, PayPal account details, and the Amazon account profiles of these reviewers, impacting approximately 200,000 people. And the information on the server outlined standard procedures by which Amazon vendors would procure fake reviews of their products. They would basically buy the product, give it a five-star review, then they would be sent a refund for what they had spent on the product, so they were getting the free product in exchange for the five-star review. So be very careful about what you're buying off of Amazon. We got to take a break for commercials. More news when we come on back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Politicians and preachers once sometimes told the truth. We didn't throw war's first stone and sacrifice our finest youth. With no video games or cell phones, a house felt like a home. Children fought and played together and stick up on a computer alone. McDonald had a farm, then he opened a burger joint.
And welcome back to our show here, and we got a request from somebody to go into this Guillain-Barré syndrome. This is a degenerative neurological disease which has previously been found to be connected with vaccines. And you can look it up online. It's spelled Guillain hyphen Barre. And it is a serious, serious condition. Once you have it, it's pretty much irreversible. And it has been linked to several vaccines. All right, getting on back to getting on back to some news here. We were talking about how the five-star reviews at Amazon were being faked. That's not the only fakery that's out there. When net neutrality was being debated back at the start of the Trump administration, the FCC was taking, you know, public comments on net neutrality, and they all came out mostly against it, saying that, yeah, the big ISPs, the streaming services, should have the lion's share of the bandwidth. And it turns out that millions of those public comments were fake, that they were being generated in order to support the position of the ISPs and the streaming broadcast media that wanted that lion's share of the bandwidth for their own personal use and, you know, to heck with ordinary mom-and-pop websites out there. Now, let's see. Here's an interesting little story, and this is kind of interesting because Claire actually got earlier today one of those scam calls that says, you know, there's a felony warrant out for you because you've been cheating Social Security. And if you, you know, give us your credit card and authorize a payment for so many hundreds of dollars, we'll fix the problem for you. And so Claire wisely, prudently hung up on them. It is a well-known scam. But there's this story that's coming on out of Zero Hedge about how the FCC finally wants to shut down robocalls or at least limit them. And it says most of them are coming from overseas locations, including India and the Philippines. And the FCC wants to implement foreign provider regulation that would block most of these incoming calls. AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile say, yeah, this is a really good idea, but let's not quite do it now. And the reason for that is simple. They make money off of all those calls. Once they're inside the American system, they're getting a share of the revenue from those phone calls. Okay, we're going to take a break for station identification. We're going to open the phone lines, area code 512-248-8252, and we'll be right back.
Happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited-time opportunity. Don't miss it.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.